D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators return home to host the New York Islanders. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. And to help us preview the Predators and take a look around the NHL, we go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider. And he is brought to you each and every week by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Adam?
We're doing well. Glad to catch up. It's been a couple of weeks. So
it sounds
Happy New Year.
There.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Yes.
Elliot. I correct me if I'm wrong here. You are a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, correct? Okay. Larry David has a strict rule about wishing people Happy New Year after a couple of days. That statute of limitations is gone. Derek's trying to trigger me here right now.
You know what? You know what? I never fault people for trying to be nice, right?
Thank you, Elliot.
So what you're saying is I'm a big old jerk, and that's okay. That's okay.
And Elliot, First of all,
I always know that Derek's much nicer than you. And even if he wasn't, I would say he is, because he can beat me up more than you can.
That is probably true as well. So, Elliot, we had Barry Trotz on the show a couple of days ago, as we usually do. And I said to him, around Thanksgiving, you had to be the most popular GM in the NHL, based on where the team was in the standings and all of the players that could be of interest to other teams. But the team has turned things around. They are back in the playoff mix over the past month and a half or so. And I said to him, has the call volume changed? Are you receiving as many calls? Are you taking fewer calls? And he said that he is not deviating from his plan. Does that mesh with what you're hearing about the Predators since the team started winning more consistently?
Yes, it does mesh. I wouldn't call Barry Trotz a liar generally, but I definitely would not call him a liar about this. I have heard that they are still looking to add some youth. It's definitely something they're looking at doing, and we'll see what happens over the next little while. I'll tell you something I heard. I was making some calls today because I'm doing a little bit of writing work for tonight. And the one thing I heard that was really interesting about your team, Adam, is that the dressing room apparently is pretty tight. Like, there's a lot of guys that like playing with each other there. There's a lot of guys who get along extremely well. I heard the group of players, there's some teams in the league where it's not that close. I heard your dressing room is pretty close. And maybe that's one of the reasons that things have gotten better when they could have gone absolutely in the opposite direction. But I don't think it's changed Barry Trotz's goals, and I still think the Predators are listening on a lot of things.
Elliot, your colleague Justin Bourne wrote a story for Sportsnet.ca the other day about how the first team that's quote-unquote in it, the first team to decide to sell, will reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. General question for you, how much are NHL GMs paralyzed by indecision right now because of how tight the standings are?
I think there are some, but I don't think all. Like, for example, Adam, a team like Vancouver, they're out there. Already traded Quinn Hughes. They've made available a player that you guys know pretty well in Kiefer Sherwood, although they did take a run at signing him last week. It's more likely than not that Sherwood's going to get traded. Vancouver is out there. I think there are some other teams that kind of go up and down a little bit. I think there's also some teams that want to see, yes, can we make the playoffs? But I think you guys are pretty consistent in your message. I think Vancouver's definitely out there. And I would also think a team like Calgary is going to be in a position to say, we're willing to do some things as well. So, the East is wild. I was going through my notes the other day. Yesterday, there were 12 points that separated the top and the bottom from the East. Like, if you go back through the cap era in full seasons, the average difference between the top team and the bottom team in the East on January the 5th, which is the 7th day where I was looked, was 30 points. So I think some of these East teams are feeling it a little bit and trying to say, okay, let's see where this goes. I think in the West, it's much more likely, like where you are, where Vancouver is, where Calgary is, where you guys are willing to say, okay, there's a bit more of a spread here. We've got these monsters at the top, particularly in your division. We're willing to say that we're out there a bit more.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet is with us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Elliot, the one player I did ask Barry Trotz about on Tuesday was Jonathan Marchessault, because he's been out of the lineup for nearly a month. The team has been winning without him, and I know that just because he's out of the lineup doesn't mean he's that's the reason why they're winning. But the reason I asked him that was about Marchessault was I asked Trotz if, you know, the success of the team without him, has it made you reanalyze his fit with the team? And he said no, he's going to be a part of the solution. He mentioned that one of the reasons why Marchessault struggles is because he doesn't play with Ryan O'Reilly. And I don't think that opportunity is going to present itself consistently. So what do you think the market is on Marchessault? He's having a tough season offensively. He's hurt, but he does come with the pedigree of the Conn Smythe Trophy, the 40-goal season. What's his market looking like?
What? How soon until he's back?
It's hard to know because there were times on, he was on this road trip, Elliot, and I would second what you said about they've been on the road since December 21st, basically, take away the three-day break for Christmas, and that was probably on the road going home for a lot of those guys. So they've been together a lot, and I do think it's a tight locker room. Marchessault was there and then went home for the last couple of days to sort of take a different approach to coming back. He looked like he was on the verge of coming back for a while and then took a couple of steps back. So I don't think he's in there tonight. So it is a true day-to-day thing, but that is extended way past day-to-day.
Well, the one thing I would wonder about Dan Adam is, like, do they feel that he needs a couple of games to show himself? And sometimes I think this does happen. I always wonder when a guy, like, comes back and shows up and he goes all out or he's put in a place where maybe you don't normally see him and they're trying to shine him up for a particular trade or someone wants to see him. I would guess this, Adam, that the first thing that has to happen is he's got to come back and play and show he's healthy. Like, if he's in a situation right now where he's kind of false started a couple of times or gotten close and gotten pushed back, unless he's absolutely getting traded, then it seems to me that they're not sure, like, a team would want to see him back in action before they traded for him. I would have to hear about his health first. Like, I do think there would be interest in Marchessault. I mean, the other part of all this is, you know, what's Nashville willing to do? He's got 3 years left under contract, right? Are they willing to eat any of that? No. What's the return price? Are they taking a contract back? Like, that kind of thing. I will say this. I'm starting to go through right now, like, okay, who's available? Who's out there? Who are teams talking about? And I'm not hearing a lot of Marchessault's name. Now, number one, I could be missing it. I miss things all the time. And number two, until he comes back from the injury, he might not be out there as much. But I'll admit right now, and I could be missing it, I'm not hearing his name. I just wonder if he has to come back and play a bit before anybody jumps on it.
We'll talk with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Elliot, is this play that the Nashville Predators are on, is it sustainable, one? And then Stamkos, he's on fire right now. Is his play sustainable as well?
Well, I mean, I would say, Derek, like, first of all, I'd say I don't think the Predators were as bad as they were at the beginning of the year. And they're probably not as good as they have been lately. Like, they've been absolutely on fire. Like, this is a weird league right now, Derek. It's sort of like a win-three, lose-three league. Like, everybody gets winning streaks, and everybody goes through terrible streaks. Like, before Dallas won last night, I think they'd lost 7 in a row or something like that. So it's a strange league, but I think the safest way for me to answer it is they're not as bad as I thought they were, as they looked at the beginning of the year. And they're probably not as high as they are now. I think that's fair to say. Stamkos to me is a really fascinating one because, I just think he kind of changed his game a little bit for the better. Like, I saw him playing net front. Like, the one thing I heard that it was kind of told to Stamkos, or he kind of talked about internally with the team, is that the way he always did things is not necessarily the way he's going to be successful anymore. So what are you willing to do to make yourself an effective player? And, like, I've seen him, like, when he scored his big goal last week, it was in the face-off circle that everybody's used to see him scoring from. But I've seen him trying to do some other things, Derek, like trying to play differently, trying to do things a little bit differently. And I don't know if he's going to stay on the same tear that he's on now, but I do see an effort from a player to kind of reinvent himself a little bit. And I think that's important.
Elliot Friedman is with us. And, Elliot, let's take it more historically with Stamkos. They're going to honor him tonight for hitting 600 goals. It's the first home game since he did it. And he's one away from Jari Kurri. You know, you're a historian of the game. A lot of these guys that he's now passing from time to time are guys you've watched for a long, long time. Where does Stamkos maybe sit in your mind now in the big picture historically now that he's crossed the 600 threshold?
Well, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't, to me, like, I don't have any issue with that. I'll just say this about him. I have an enormous amount of respect for him, Willie, because he went through some terrible injury problems. Like, you look at, in 2014, he was supposed to be on the Olympic team. He missed the Olympics because of the broken leg. He had the blood clot. Like, you take a look at some of the, like, the first Stanley Cup when he could only play, like, the short shift where he scored. Like, he had the 30-second shift, and then he got hurt again. That guy has had a lot of challenges. And, you know, when he got drafted number one overall, there were a lot of people who said if you would have told them he would have gotten 600 goals, people would have said absolutely 100%. And I bet you 6 or 7 years into his career, when he started getting all those injuries and they started piling up, like in, I guess it would probably be more like years 6 to 10, people would have said, too bad. You know, he had a great career, but he's never going to do what he could have done. And he got there. And he got there despite, like, you know, when they won the first Stanley Cup, he did some interviews where he talked about how emotional it was, not only because of winning, but because people kind of gave up on him. And even the Lightning, when he was an unrestricted free agent, like, they didn't pay him the max. They said, you know, here's our offer. 8 times 8.5, I think it was. He had Toronto offering him $11 million. He had other teams offering him like more than that. And they were like, no, this is our offer. If you want to be here, you got to play this. And he took it. And I think there were a lot of times that even people in Tampa doubted him, his long-term effectiveness. And so the greatest respect I have for him is not his talent, which is considerable, Willie. It's his will. And he kept going despite the fact that there were people who doubted his ability to be elite for a long time. I really admire that about him.
Yeah, and I think he's starting to – I think the people here in Nashville are starting to get that now, where for a while they couldn't see it. And it's really to his credit, as you said, for the adaptation that he's had. And now you're seeing him out in the forefront more. You're getting which is the presence that he's had. It's now out for everybody to see. And I think the fans are getting
really
that now.
He's a really popular player in the league. Like, if you ask players in the league, especially from his sort of vintage, like, who's a really popular guy, you'll get a lot of answers about Stamkos. Like, he's a really liked person. Like, you know, Adam, I see you tweeting out all those heat maps all the time about where Stamkos is shooting from. And I think it's a perfect example. Like, as I mentioned earlier, I saw him earlier in the season, he was net front on the power play. Like, it's, you have to reinvent yourself. You have to adapt. And I think there were some big conversations early in the year when he was really struggling and the team wasn't doing very well. Like, what's the future here? And I think one of the things they kind of talked about with him was, you have to try different things. And, you know, to his credit, he listened.
I want to ask you about the Jets, Elliot, because the last time the Predators saw the Jets were managing the early part of the Connor Hellebuyck injury, but they looked like they had a cushion. It looked like they were going to be fine. And now here they are slipping way down there. And, of course, this could be musical chairs in the second half, right? There could be a number of teams that yo-yo up and down. But they're really at a low right now. What are they going to do?
Terrible. I think we're still trying to figure that out, to be honest. Willie, I know I'm in shock by what I've seen from them. Like, I didn't think they'd be as good as they were last year. I didn't think they'd win the President's Trophy, but I wasn't expecting them to be 32nd in the league in the middle of January. Like, I didn't see that coming. And, you know, a couple of things have happened. Number one, they got slow. They lost Nick Ehlers. Ehlers is a really talented offensive player, and he was their one of their fastest forwards. And they lost him, and the guys they got in, you know, Jonathan Toews was away. I didn't know what to expect. You know, for a guy who was away for 2.5 years, he's still having trouble catching up to the pace. Gustav Nyquist, who's a guy that you guys know well, he doesn't have a goal this year, and he's looked slow. Like a whole bunch of their guys, they look really slow out there. It's a big problem. They have one great line, and they have a lot of guys who just can't score. And, you know, last year the backbone is another guy you guys know well, Connor Hellebuyck, and he was the MVP of the league. And when he got hurt this year, they really struggled without him. But the number one thing to me, guys, is that this is a fast league now. You either have to skate quickly or you have to move the puck quickly. And aside from their top line, they just don't do that.
Lastly, let's talk about the team that's in here tonight, Elliot, because it was at the forefront of your podcast earlier this week, the Islanders, much to the chagrin of the Predators, right, who had a lot of ping pong balls and could have moved up. There was a vision. The Predators moved down a couple of spots. The Islanders moved up the full 10 spots and got the first pick. And Matthew Schaefer looks like he has been a grand slam.
Well, I still think your guy Brady Martin will be good. I understand he got hurt at the end of the World Juniors, so hopefully it's not too long. But long term, I think you guys will be happy with Brady. But yes, Schaefer has been spectacular. One of the stories I'm going to tell on the pod for tomorrow, but I don't mind sharing it with you guys now, is that the demand for his jersey was so high in their team store and online that they ran out of the numbers 4 and 8. His number is 48. And so they had to order new numbers in order to fit the demand.
I thought you were going to say they're going to run over to the Mets and get some old Jacob DeGrom jerseys or something. With the same color scheme.
I just put like Schaefer over top of it.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. Yeah. No, I heard they ran out of the numbers 4 and 8 so that they could, because there were so many people who wanted Schaefer jerseys. You know, he's just you know, the thing is, he's a really talented kid. And, you know, one of the things about him is that they, you know, right now with all the analytics you keep, one of the analytics is who has the puck the most in the game, right? And number one in the league right now is Quinn Hughes of Minnesota. Which is a perennial thing. Number two in the league is Lane Hutson of the Montreal Canadiens. Good American boy for our Tennessee listeners. And number three in the league is this 18-year-old rookie, Matthew Schaefer.
Wow.
And he didn't make the Olympic team, the Canadian Olympic team, but he's very much like a people's favorite. And if one of the D goes down, he's going to be – there's a chance he goes. Like, he's on their reserve list now. And he's been told he could be a replacement. So, and he's an 18-year-old defenseman. Like, Canada never thought they'd be doing that. But the other thing, too, is he's just a really nice kid. Like, if you're familiar with his story, his mother passed away of cancer not too long ago. And everything, he's just so grateful for everything. He's just a really easy kid to like. And you're like this is going to be a game where there's going to be people in Nashville, and they're going to be at the game tonight. They're going to be watching on TV, listening to Willie wax poetic about everything that's happening. And they're going to be like, okay, I don't know who this kid is. it's going to take you two shifts to realize, oh, that's who that is.
I did see the guy they were talking about.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
We did notice that effect in Edmonton the other night, Elliot. If you had no idea who Connor McDavid was, it took you about half a period. He made two or three unbelievable plays in that game.
And I did see a Matthew Schaefer jersey on Broadway today already.
I got to tell you a funny story about that. So I know someone. I'm not going to say who it was. And he put down a bet on McDavid to score two or three goals. I can't remember which one it was. And he realized the next day he fell asleep. So he won, but he fell asleep. And he didn't realize till the next morning that he actually put in the bet twice.
Well, so I get done with the money.
Very nice. Elliot, before we let you go, I want to ask you about another team that's on the skids, a team that just lost 9-0 to these Islanders earlier this week, the New Jersey Devils. What's going on there? I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop in New Jersey.
You know, I know the other night it was so bad and everybody expects something to happen. Like, I think the number one thing is, like, I think everybody in New Jersey has kind of been like, okay, this has been a bit of a disappointment, obviously. I'm not always surprised when nothing happens after a game like that, because I think when to be successful in what you do, you cannot make emotional decisions. And maybe there would have been a time where that would have happened. I think what it does is it makes the ground more uncertain under a lot of people there. You know, I just think, honestly, Adam, the more I look back at it, the whole Quinn Hughes thing, I think, just tossed a grenade into that room. I really do. I think that, they had a chance to get him. They didn't get him. The rumors were going around for about a week. I mean, I reported on a Saturday, and I think he got traded on a Friday. And New Jersey was in there. I think a lot of guys were unsettled. I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, they have some guys with no trades who block moves. So some people think they're in. Some people think they're out. And also, they haven't gotten the goaltending. Like, you know, like someone said to me, it was a 9-0 game. But if you look at the actual chances that night, New Jersey outchanced the Islanders almost 2-1, and they just got blown out of the building. They haven't, you know, Markstrom has really struggled this year. So I think that between the goaltending, and I really do believe that the whole roster uncertainty, because at the beginning of the year, they had a ton of injuries and they were 13-4-1. They were playing really well. But I just think the whole situation, the moment that they knew they were going after Hughes and they didn't get him, I think it really threw their team for a loop. And it's a tough thing to get the hands back on the steering wheel from that.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman has been our guest on D-Maze, Ving, and the Donnick. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season and is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. Great to catch up. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Take care.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the Predators conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donnick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving in 1025. The game.